That solves a lot of problems. You can always count on you, Gary. You always got an answer. So how do you, if the slinky stretches, then that means the antenna length by band changes. So how do you control that?
And I made coils up on mine. I stretched it out. You can make it multi-band as far as that goes. I stretched mine out to 75 meters at one time and put a coil at the very end. And coming back, I used an antenna analyzer to do all of this with, to make my measurements and all that, and to get it resonant. But I stretched it out, and normally, like Ed said, about 35 feet or so. But if you make a coil in it, you don't have to stretch it quite so far. But there's a table, and I think I've got that here somewhere. I'd have to find it. That gives you the table of how far to stretch it and what bands it'll cover and that sort of thing. So if I can find that, I'll shoot that to you and you can get that up to Ed.
Well, for what it's worth, I'm trying my best to figure out. I mean, if that temperature changes, because it's not a wire. I know wire stretches, and I've been dealing with that with the dipole there at the house. But a slinky, I don't know, it just sounds kind of problematic. Seems like it would shrink and contract so bad that it'd just be hard to manage. Were you able to make contacts on it?
Well, you got first off, you've got to remember that's spring steel, so the temperature is not going to affect it quite as much as you think it would, like it does a piece of copper wire. You know, you put a piece of copper wire out there, string it out across the yard, and let it get good and warm, and that thing's going to stretch. It gets cold, it's going to shrink up a little bit, but a slinky won't quite do that. And like I said, I made marks on my string that goes through the center of the slinky, and I pulled it out and put it to that particular mark each time, and didn't have any problems with it as far as the weather was concerned.
Well, it seems like I remember you telling me Ray had a slinky antenna he used, kept in the truck with him. Isn't that what you, didn't you tell me that?
Yeah, I did tell you that. He was in the State Guard, and when they would go on drills and this sort of thing, he would pull over in a rest stop where they decided to set up communications station, and he'd either throw it up in a tree or he had one of those push-up masts. I say it was push-up. It was it was like that fiberglass poles that we got. And he'd put his center support on his slinky and push it up and tie it to his Suburban, and then run it down in an inverted V configuration and stake it in the ground, and he'd sit there and talk to the people in the State Guard. But yeah, he did that on several different occasions. I fixed mine up just for grins and giggles, because I wanted one and to see if it would work. And it makes a relatively light backpacking type antenna. It's not as light as some of the others, but slinky doesn't take up a whole lot of room, and it's not that heavy. And a piece of string and a little piece of feed line, and so it works real well. Like I said, it's I won't say that it has a whole lot of gain to it as far as that goes, but you can make contacts on it. It receives good and does transmit.
I'll keep that in mind, and I'll pass that along to Ed. I'm sure he'll figure out what to do with the situation he's got there. but never thought about putting that in an inverted V, but that makes perfect sense. Perfect sense. Well, Gary, have you had a chance to talk with Jack?
I had the opportunity, but I haven't been over there. I'm gonna try to get over there sometime tomorrow or the next or Thursday, and maybe we can get together like on Friday or maybe first of the week.
That's good. I'm expecting issues with the fitment, but that won't be an issue once we find out. But just let me know.
Okay. Well, Stephen and Heidi came over Sunday for Mother's Day and brought breakfast, and we all sat around the kitchen table, and I carried that piece I've got here in there and set it on the table, and Heidi looked at it, and she said, "What's that for?" And I explained to her what it was going to be, and she said, "Well, it's kind of heavy. What's it made out of?" I started telling her what it was made out of, and she said, "No wonder it weighs so much."
Well, like I said, you are the only man on the face of the planet that has got a gin pole made out of a rifle barrel from a naval shipyard. So I think that's interesting. Maybe we can put some engraving on it or something.
That might be cool to do, too, but I just thought I'd let you know about that. Other than that, that's about all I've got over here on this end of town. I've held it up too long now. I'll turn it back over to you and let you carry on with it. Sound like you got a good net going. And if I look for that slinky antenna length dimensions and stuff, like I said, they're here someplace. I'll find them and I'll fax you a copy or scan them and put them in a computer and send them to you via email or something. And that way you can get them to hit. But tell Miss Anna we said hello. Hope you have a great evening, what's left of it. And I'll be here and listen to the rest of the net. KO4NUE and the net. KI4DOS.
Well, I appreciate you dropping by. And always nice to hear your comments. Always a pleasure talking to you. Please tell Miss Joy I said hello. And with that, I'll move on and see if we have any more check-ins. Alpha through Zulu for the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. Please call KO4NUE.
Please check in Kilo 4 X-ray Bravo. That's K4XB. My name is Tommy. I'm located in southern Greenville County. I'll be negative and negative. Good evening to you and everyone on that.
Welcome K4XB, that's Mr. Tommy in Southern Greenville County. Appreciate you dropping by with us tonight, Tommy. Okay, any more stations, Alpha through Zulu, before I close it down, please call KO4NUE. Anyone for comments or rags you, please call KO4NUE. For my net report, KO4RYP, this is KO4NUE.
KO4RYP.
Total of 58, two pieces of traffic, and your serial number is 22130 QSL. KO4NUE, I am clear. I'll now return the repeater back to normal amateur use, 73 to all on the net. And it's been a pleasure to be your net controller tonight. This is KO4NUE, and I am clear. And Ed, Ed and Larry, if you're still in there, we're going to hang around. So it's KO4NUE, I'm clear.
Carlin, thanks for all the comments from everybody. Gary, don't bother searching. I have the directions, and I have the table that gives the length of the antenna and the number of turns required for each link for different frequencies. And I also just did a search just on Slinky antenna. It has all kinds of stuff and all kinds of pictures of how people have played with this thing, and the other one has all kinds of references. I also have some other antennas down in the barn I'm going to drag out and see what I can do with those. They have some Balan lines and are marked with different frequencies, but I haven't pulled them out in a long time, so I'm going to pull those out and see if I can use those. This stuff.
JVQ.
NUE?
It sounds like that was a really good, interesting question with a lot of room. And makes me think, I've had that antenna, probably 8 or 9 years, and I've never deployed it, never tried it, never thought there was any place to put something like that, around here, but maybe I can find a place where it might look like some garden art or something.
Roger that. Larry, can you stand by 1 minute? I've got my handy in there with a full battery. I didn't think I could get through the net with it, but now that the net's over, if you'll stand by 1 minute, let me move back into the cabin, and I can get on a handy and get out of this truck.
AK4 JBQ standing by.
ROS. You might want to try looking at the stuff on the web that I looked at, just under Slinky Antenna, and that other site that had lots of references. It shows a lot of pictures of people using it in attics, in apartments, in hotels, where of course you don't have quite the same structural problems as putting it outside, but it seems to be rather versatile.
Yeah, that sounds marvelous. Now, that other site you were talking about is this Non-Stop Systems.
Mark here.
Rod, JK4HXA. Who told you about that, Larry? JI4LZI.
In fact, it was, Andy.
It was, the way you was describing that, I thought that's who you were talking about. Y'all go ahead. If I have anything else, I'll come in. KI4LZI listening. I thought that's who you was talking about.
Yes, I gave enough information for anyone who knew the situation. Yeah. And thank you for being there, Andy. It's good, always good to hear you.
Well, that's correct. It's www.nonstopsystems.com. Got a whole section on Slinky Coil Dipole 40 to 10 meters.
Good. KK4JBQ. I do think I will try to get that thing in the air. That'll, I've got to have more creativity about, because I'm quite limited here. It just can't be seen as an antenna. It can't be understood to be an antenna. And I have no vertical supports whatsoever except the house. I think I recall that you mentioned to Chad that you were going to attach this to two trees. I'll just point out one thing about trees. It's obvious, but I thought when I first heard this that, gee, I'm glad somebody said something. Trees sway more the higher you go up. Trees are thickest at the bottom, and in a good stiff wind, they will sway more the higher you go. Now, I know antennas they demand height, but if you have really good high trees, and some species are just about the same diameter for 40 feet, and then they, and then they get thin and blow a lot. But you have a good amount of sway. Just judge that before you go attaching an antenna to a tree. KK4JBQ.
Keep in mind, I put it up this afternoon about maybe 6 or 7 feet high, just to try the length of it and see what would happen. That's why I'm tagging and walking away from it about 20 feet. You just about cannot see it. Black colored, dark gray, and it just blends in. I used yellow line and tied some some streamers on it to make sure nobody runs into it because it's about head high now for most people. But you're right, once I get it up permanently, I'm probably going to end up with a weight on one end of the support line, so if there's any swaying, it will be taken up by the weight.
Good idea. A pulley and some kind of measured weight. If it's not more than 7 pounds you need, you could use a water jug. That weighs about seven, a gallon weighs about 7 pounds. But otherwise, you use something that's more like a brick or something like that. And, well, anyway, I wish you all the best. KK4JBQ.
Friend UE.
Ed and I are going to be putting up a slinky, one over there and one over here.
That sounds good. Well, Larry, I'm on this ICOM that's giving me problems. Tell me what you're hearing.
It wasn't very long, but I thought I perceived a bit of fan noise, or what sounded like fan noise. But that could happen with, you know, any fan that's trying to keep the thing cool. Does it have a fan?
We've got a fan blowing on it right now, but other than the fan noise, any issues?
No other issues. The fan is it's not pronounced, but it is quite noticeable. That is to say, it's a constant tone, and just sounds like a fan to me. But that's not objectionable, if that's what it takes to keep it healthy.
KR4LZI, back when AK had that radio, it had that hum way in the background on it when he had it.
KL4NUE. Larry, give me just a second, and I'm gonna swap over to the handy and see if... if you can tell a difference. Give me just a second.
I thought you were in the background. I remember when AK had that radio and you would hear that in the background on his signal on that radio.
Andy, that sounds a little like a circuitry issue. Maybe something as simple as a leaky capacitor. You never know.
I have no idea how long AK had that radio, other than he was the previous owner, and how long he had it, I have no clue. KI4LZI, Friday.
4NUE.
For WWZ,
Mobile. KO4WWZ, Larry, can you tell the difference?
I can tell the difference. The ICOM, the earlier radio, it sounded a little more like I was in the room. Maybe it was the fan noise perception. But the radio you're on right now sounds a little bit like you're running compression. Is that a radio that you can and do run compression on?
Explain to me what you're hearing.
Compression takes a waveform, a sound waveform, and first of all, it boosts it all the way across, all frequencies within your voice. It boosts it, and then it compresses the boost. So it's not, compression is noticeable because you don't have high peaks and valleys like you do in a normal audio waveform. You don't have high peaks and valleys. It's just all your voice kind of pumpy, you know, pumped up.
So for NUE, so no, I don't have the option on this handy for that. But this is 2.5 watts running through this Yagi I built. So... is there an issue with the ICOM, or am I being too picky?
picky.
Being too picky, I think audio quality means a great deal. But since Andy volunteered that this is something that the radio has exhibited over a number of years, it's characteristic of the radio and its circuitry and in the current state. Now, what you're doing is running it in a different environment. Could be that it will accelerate deterioration. Could be that it'll stop any deterioration. It's, you know, when you're only guessing, and that's what I'm doing, then it could be that it'll go either way or stay right where it is. It's not that terribly objectionable. It just sounds like there's a, you're in a room with one of those window air conditioners, you know? You know, the noise that an air conditioner in the window makes? That's kind of it, from 10 feet away.
Okay, all right. Well, I'm not sure exactly what I'm gonna do with it, but, Chandler, are you still in there, bud?
Hey, I'm here. I'm out mostly doing deliveries for Uber Eats, but I got Pete right here in about maybe half an hour. But, can you fill me in on what y'all been talking about? I hadn't been listening. I just now turned on my radio.
I've been talking about slinky antennas.
Been talking about Archon 706s also. KI4LZI5D.
ID for KI4LZI is your ID. KI4DOS.
Don't forget it. I'd rather say it too many times than not say it enough. I remember years ago, WU8D here on this repeater lake one night got a pink slip from somebody, and they said he wasn't IDing enough, so I'm just making sure. KI4LZI.
Hey, as long as you ID, that's good, Andy. I'm just picking at you. I just didn't know why you said for ID. Because your call sign is your ID, KI4DOS.
Hey, Andy, this is KI4WWZ. You only have to sign every 10 minutes, brother.
Good rules, but I don't have a clock here running, and I don't keep up with you as closely, probably as I should, and every now and then I might get past that, but you remember years ago, Gary, when AK had the Icon 706 and you talked to him and you was hearing that slight hum that we've been hearing here for the past minute or two in the back room on that 706?
But on that, Andy, I remember talking to him on a whole bunch of different radios. And I do remember talking to him on the 706, but I don't remember the hum problem as far as that goes. But it seems like I remember a little bit about it, but that's been a long time ago.
Well, I talked to him, I guess. Well, it wasn't on the radio, it was on the phone. But the last few times I talked to him, a lot of times he'd be on that 706 there that he's got there, and you'd hear that hum in the background. It's not objectionable. If you listen real close, you can hear it, sir, but we was just wondering if it's doing it here on him, and he's already having other problems with it. If somehow or another that might be something that's about to blow up on him into a big problem with that. You got any ideas? KI4LZI.
Andy, real quick,
quarter mile, make a left turn on New Dunham Bridge Road.
If you wait for the repeater to identify itself, that will mark the 10 minutes. You don't have to have a clock.
706 Mark 2G here at the house. I'll hook it up and tomorrow, and maybe I can get with Chad and see if he hears it on it. And we'll go that route with it. But I do have one here at the house, and I'll hook it up tomorrow. I'm not going to do it tonight.
Remember, there was the Mark G and just a plain Icon become 706. Am I correct? I don't know how long AK had that radio. I have no clue. But I know from that hum, I remember him used it in the past.
Gain. When you speak, your voice, the sound pressure of your voice overcomes what sounds on this end. It sounds like wind, like you're talking in the wind. It's definitely in your audio circuits, and that radio has got to have some work done. So it's already crossed the creek. And maybe it could be as simple as recapping. That's quite often on older radios, that's exactly what they need before more serious things happen, because when a capacitor starts turning into a resistor, which is what it does, when it begins to leak electrically, well, it just changes the circuit, as you might imagine. So there you are, KK4JBQ.
Oh, and it sounds like road noise or ocean waves if you're on the beach.
4NUE. Exactly what I'm hearing here on the out of the speaker. So I'll try to mess with it a little bit and see if I've got something. I don't think anything's out of adjustment, because when the radio is, hasn't been in use, I don't have this issue. But the longer it stays plugged in, and you just try to monitor, that's when it shows up.
Larry described it perfectly. It sounds like waves or something. That's the first time I've noticed it that bad. I've noticed it in the past, but when you said you were under the fan, I thought it was just fan noise, coming in over the mic. But that's something internal. I'm not sure what it could be. It could need recapping, and I don't have any idea where to start other than maybe sort of like Skyland over in Gainesville. They could get work on ICOMs. That might be a place to maybe check with them, but unless there's somebody in the area, in the immediate area, that can check it out for you.
I'll just give me a note. I don't know that I won't go that route, but I've been eyeballing one anyway, so I may just go ahead and get it. But it is a nice radio, but I can't have that. It's just progressively gotten worse. But I'm okay with it. I'll do what I gotta do.
Yes. Look, if you plug the icon and you want to give me a price, I will see what I could do. That's totally up to you.
No offense intended, but I'm not gonna sell a radio that's got problems. I just that's just bad business. I'll do something, but I'm selling something that's, you know, got issues. I just don't know if I'm comfortable with that.
I understand, and thank you for being honest with me.
24DJD, I think I talked to guys in Scotland over in Gainesville, George, to see what they say. They're pretty, if you like the radio, it may not be very expensive to
fix. Sure, something I still wouldn't, you know. I don't know. I'll figure it out, but you know, don't take offense. I don't mean it the way it sounds. It's just sometimes there's a right and wrong way of doing things, and I'd rather err on the side of being right.
Okay, I appreciate that, Chad, but there was a major double between you and another station.
DJC. I was saying, going to St. Chad was, 706 is a nice rig, and if you like it, it may not be very expensive to repair, and the guys at Skyland are very reasonable when it comes to doing stuff like that. They give you an estimate. They just don't depend on how much you like the radio. Now, I can't remember the guy's call now to save my life, but he's a two call, and he does air conditioner work, and I want to say it's, I ain't got his call in front of me now, but he sent one of his radios to them, and I think it was an ICOM, and I don't know if he's got it back yet or not, but he said, turn around, I was going to be about 2 weeks or so, and if I find his call, I'll give it to you, and then you can check with him and see how he liked what they did, how expensive it was to repair. But and once they get the work done, I mean, they're generally going to be good again for years.
What's the name of the place that repairs them, Jerry?
Scotland, it may be Claremont, but it's in Gainesville, Georgia. They do work on everything from HF to shortwave to stereo stuff to all kinds of ham radio stuff, handhelds. They're the people to send it to in this area. They've been in business for years and years, and at one time they did a lot of work for HRO in Atlanta. Since the ICOM, they've got several authorized service centers, but if you send it to ICOM, you got to send it back to Seattle as a rule. And there's another guy, I think, in the Midwest that does it. There used to be a guy here in town, actually, in Anderson, that would work on about, he's retired, and he moved back to somewhere in Atlanta. But they did really good work from all the work I've seen. Like I said, I don't know how expensive they are, but it might be worth it to give them a call and maybe, you know, take the radio down there or ship it to them, one of the just see what it is. 706 is not a big rig, so it wouldn't be terribly expensive to ship it, but it might be worthwhile, I mean, especially if you like the radio.
Skyland, that's it, Skyland, or is it like a Skyland radio repair, or any other information?
I think they go by Claremont, Skyland, between Gainesville, Georgia. If you just look up Skyland Radio on the internet or either on Facebook, they have a Facebook page too. And I'll check it when I go downstairs. And if I've got a number or something to call them, I'll just shoot you an email with it.
I may do that and just, you know, see what they got to say. I do like the radio, but I can't deal with that.
A lot of money in it either, but, you know, if you like the radio, if it's something they can fix for you, it's not too complex and they're reasonable with it, you know. You've got a good semi-portable radio there that may last you a bit. The way I figure, if it lasts 5 or 6 more years, it could last a lot longer than that. It may not be anything. It could be something major, and it could be something not. But if it's not a power output issue with a final failing or something like that, which probably isn't, it may not be real expensive to fix. It's the only thing with these. The older radios, you get parts for them, and you know they may or may not be able to get their parts for them. Generally, a lot of stuff is in common with other ICOM radios. They have a lot of substitute stuff. It just depends on how complex the problem is. I guess is what I'm trying to say, Chad.
I understand. I just like I said, I was a little bit disappointed tonight because I didn't get to call the net on my new antenna. And I was going to do it on the handy, but I don't have one battery, and I didn't figure I could get through the net on that one battery, so off in the truck I go. So I'm not sure I want to do that too many more times.
Come in. KM4CHY here. I did a little... hit the Googles, and it is, like Jerry said, Claremont, Clairmont, Skyland Radio and TV. Over.
Not any contact information on there, Keith?
Times. It looks like they've even got a website listed, phone number, address, everything.
I'll Google it, and I'll go from there. But I think it's a good idea. I will send it back. Radio does a lot. And like I said, I haven't had this issue when I got it. It's like I said, it's just kind of just popped up. And I'm not sure. Not exactly sure what's happened, but something has changed, and it should not be getting that warm. Just sitting at idle.
Comment.
For that, and shout out to Jerry for putting it out there. I hadn't heard of this place, and you know, they're somewhat conveniently located. Didn't know there was any place around this area to get done work done like that. So, but yeah, Claremont, Skyland Radio and TV in Gainesville. Look about. Looks like they open at 10 in the morning, and they do have a toll free number. Go ahead, Chandler.
When you get time, could you maybe text me or talk to me over the landline about this? I don't want to discuss things on there that you may not want to discuss.
I'll give you a holler. But, okay. All right, thank you, Jerry. I appreciate that. I'll definitely give him a holler.
If you look at the Facebook page, Chad and Keith, they do some beautiful restorations of old TVs and old stereos, too, including old shortwave receivers, Drakes, everything. And it's just... they do some beautiful work, like I said. It's just some of how expensive they are, but I would imagine they're as reasonable as anybody else is close by, too.
Bad, and it'd at least be worth getting an estimate. And my brother, my older brother, has the old shortwave receiver that my grandparents, you know, shortwave or radio that my grandparents had at the farmhouse, had shortwave bands on it, and might try to talk him into seeing about getting it, put it through the paces, and at least get an estimate on it anyway. Over.
Like I said, I'll check them out. I'll give them a holler tomorrow.
Reynolds, the guy for ID. You was talking about restoring an old shortwave radio. I done got an old 1940 silver tone over here that I done. I didn't do it for them, but because I didn't know about them, but I done listened through radio days up there in New York. But not long after I had this one done, they quit doing it and they only sell parts. So you go over to the Antique Wireless Radio site and you can find all kinds of parts, places that'll sell parts for these old, ancient, real ancient gear.
Interesting. I'll have to look them up. I remember as a kid listening to that thing and scrolling through and hearing all the different languages. Really, yeah, brings back some good memories, so it'd be nice to have that back in operational condition again. Wouldn't venture to say what year it is, but it was around ever since I can remember it, and I'm sure they had it decades before I was around, too.
Also, a book here that I ordered that shows that radio in the book and everything that Sears sold from 1930 to 1942. And that and there was a farm radio. It was originally designed to be battery operated, but another ham over toward Spartanburg area, W4BUW, he found me the remnants of an old power supply, power shifter. I got it and sent it all to radio days and they redone it. I don't know who else to take it. I didn't mean to come in here and hog the frequency, but he went to talking about the real ancient shortwave stuff, and I just wanted to point that out. Go ahead, Larry, KI4LCI, go ahead and say something, because next time I get back around, it'll be proper time for me to take in some stuff. So I'll go ahead and just be listening the rest of the time. KI4LCI, go ahead, Larry.
I'm glad that this has turned out as it has. Seems like you got a contact point there, Chad, and that is a mighty good radio, well respected and sought after. Actually, the only one I've ever seen for sale was it was a ham fest like 3 years ago, and the fellow said every time someone asks about that, I know what it's worth, and they try to talk me down. You know, people like that, they have my respect because they actually believe what they're saying. And they'll tell you, this is what I want, and that's my price. But it was a little too rich for me. Everyone likes that radio, Chad. You ought to hang on to it. Or, as you said, one like it. Yeah. KK4JBQ.
I think I will. I think that's probably going to be probably be a good option there. Because, I mean, it is all mode. And when I'm, you know, in here piddling around or outside working around, I tune to FM radio stations, too, and use it for a radio. So, it's kind of nice. Menus are not that easy, but I got a quick chart here on the wall. I can, you know, do what I want to with it. But I'll definitely send it off to have them check it out.
Larry is right on the money. 706 is a great radio. It's been popular for years. People shed tears when they discontinued it, but as I mentioned to Keith, my My wife's mother and dad had one of those old, kind of old type radios that had shortwave on it, had the AM ham, 75 meter ham bands on it, and all kinds of stuff. We used to listen to that thing, and it broke my heart when they moved and got rid of it, because I just didn't have room for it. This thing was a big risk, and I'd love to have been able to send it to somebody like Skyler to get them to go over it. But I've seen those. They've also done, and if Angie's list, they've also done restorations on the Zenith Transoceanic portables. And the ones they do, they look like, I mean, when they get done, they look brand new almost. It's just unbelievable with the kind of work they do on them.
Dropped out, but like I said, I will give them a call tomorrow and just go ahead and send it off for an estimate. Because I mean, it is nice. Got a detachable faceplate, and I use it. You know, I do a lot of HF work on it. Radio's been opened up to, you know, the Mars frequencies, and I use that a lot. You know, just throw it in my go bag and, you know, just move around with it a lot. So I'll check it out and see what they got to say.
Thank you. Before it gets too late, and I know all of us are a little showing our tired a little bit, but you mentioned, I think it was a movie to me 3 or 4 days ago. And I believe it began with an A. I cannot find my note, so I'll have to ask you if you can recall and let me in on that again.
Called Arrival, and that night I went and watched the Contact with Jodie Foster, and you're right. It, you know, she started off at a ham station, and I believe her dad called her Sparks, and they were keeping a map of how far she could make contact and so on and so forth. But the name of the movie is Arrival. And I'll give you just a little bit of background without, you know, spoiling anything, because it is an excellent movie. So. It starts with the woman that kind of plays the same role as Jodie Foster did in this movie. She is a language expert, just brilliant, you know. And these aliens show up on Earth, and you know. We'll take it from there. But at the end of the movie, it's you have to think. You have to really pay attention. And it's like the, let me let my radio drop. First contact, or contact with Jodie Foster. At the end, you're going, oh my goodness, I cannot believe that was a really good movie. But, you know, no foul language or nudity or anything like that. It's just a really good sci-fi.
Thanks for that. I do occasionally have a little time now that I have retired, a little time on my hands, and I can be entertained. I'm easy, I guess you might say, to entertain. I've watched... And this might sound, but this is one of those, I don't know if you would like it. I know Anna would like it. I have watched it to the point where I'm hooked. Although it's a little sappy, it's a little bit like, I'll let you make your own decision about that. If you want to watch the first episode, it's a Netflix original, I believe, called The Good Witch. Now, it has nothing to do with witchery or, you know, Satanism or anything like that. It is The title is speaking of the main character, a woman, who has sort of a sixth sense. She knows a lot of things about people. I think she's just very observant. And if you recall Arthur Conan Doyle, when he wrote the Sherlock Holmes series, what he kept driving as a talent that Sherlock Holmes had, it was his heightened perception. He gathered a lot of his clues about any scene or, you know, the evidence that was just lying about from his perceptions of things. A heightened perception, and that's what she has. I don't think the title has anything to do with witchcraft. But anyway, it's a feel-good thing, is what I'm trying to say. So maybe if you just watch the first episode, if you like it, you like it. But I have kind of gotten up to the point where I am enjoying the thing. KK4JBQ.
Check it out. You said it was the good witch. Is that what you said?
That's it. And I don't know. It's enjoyable past the time TV, and you do. See, this is the thing. The characterizations are such that you begin to care about the characters and their interactions with one another. That, ever since, what was that movie? I'm drawing a blank now. The Goodbye Girl. You might, that was a movie released probably in the 70s. Very good movie, and I'm blanking on the main characters, but the reason that I like this movie, and this is where I discovered my taste in theatrical things, I like conversation that makes sense. I like people that are expressing their true feelings about, you know, others in their environment. Don't pull any bull on me. Just tell it like you know, and I respect that. So in watching The Goodbye Girl, you learn to respect the characters. And the dialogue is great. KK4JBQ.
Check it out. But, listen, I know you're showing you're tired and all. But before you go, I want to talk with you about this Yagi for a minute.
I'm here for that.
I got $23 in the thing. And it took me, probably 4 hours to build it. Six element. And I got the plans out of the ARRL handbook I bought this year for Christmas. I got the whole set from the ARRL, and one of those five booklets, and one of them is, you know, antenna designs, you know. So I dug it out and got a set of plans and put the thing together on the table, and here are my observations, or here's what I have learned with this. Elements. And, first observation is that, during the build, I've figured out how to build these things. So you start with the boom or the beam. And then I build the driven element first. Now, the driven element I have does not have a hairpin match or any kind of match. It's just a isolated driven element that is isolated from the beam with a non-conductive material. Basically, a dipole on a beam cut to resonant, to be resonant at 146.610. UE. that gets cut to be resonant with the antenna analyzer. When I get the SWR down as low as I can get it, then the first reflector goes in. And when the first reflector goes in, things go nuts. I mean, absolutely crazy on the analyzer. But what I've learned is that each reflector has to be tuned as well. And if you don't get those right, it majorly affects the SWR. And you got to be pretty accurate with it. Really, you do. So once the first reflector gets tuned, then the reflector goes in. When the reflector goes in, it goes nuts again, and it has to be tuned. So you're actually tuning three elements there to get the SWR the way you want it. I'll stop there and see what you got to say about that before I move on.